Grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. The text for this morning's message is found in the Epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 15, as follows. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. These are the words. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has delivered us from slavery to sin in order to make us servants of righteousness, dear fellow redeemed. How do you think you'd like to spend 2 years of your life making phone calls to people who aren't home? Sound absurd? It's not. One recent time management study said that that's how long the average person will spend over his lifetime making telephone calls to people who aren't in. Not only that, but you'll spend 6 months waiting for traffic lights to turn green and 8 months reading junk mail. It all adds up. It's a reminder that not only is time fleeting, but it is also limited. Tempus fugit, says the old Latin motto, time flies. And those of us who are beginning to get along in years know that that statement is certainly true. There's a better motto about time, however, one that I think fits us Christians in a more appropriate way. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. I like that one better. It reminds us that our time here on this earth is not unlimited. We only have a certain number of minutes, hours, days, and years left to us before the end. Each of us has a limited amount of time available. We don't know what that total is, but God does. The commodity of time is limited, and it's precious. The question that our Lord is asking us in our text for today is a simple one. How are we going to spend the time we have? That's why our theme this morning is the time of your life. It can easily be squandered, but it has been purchased by Christ. So let us redeem it in his service. In this part of his letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul begins by saying, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That's an interesting word in the Greek. It literally means walk carefully or walk accurately. Well, what does the Apostle mean by telling us to walk accurately? If you ever watched closely a long-distance runner, someone who's a professional and is trained, you may have noticed that they walk, they run accurately. They don't just plop their feet down anywhere. Professional runner carefully places each step. He doesn't clench his fists and swing his arms in huge wide arcs because that would be to squander his energy. Very often they hold their arms low and close to their bodies and swing their arms little, if at all. The runner knows that he only has so much energy to use during the race, and he knows that if he squanders that energy, he has no hope of winning. Paul's message to you this morning concerns something that's far more important than that: your walk in life as a Christian and how you make use of your time. Walk accurately, he says. You've only got a certain amount of time to spend in this life, so don't waste it. Don't squander a single second of that precious commodity of time. Because you know it's true. The time of your life can so easily be squandered. So many people, as the Apostle notes, act as fools and not as wise. They squander the precious time of their lives foolishly. And perhaps the greatest foolishness of all is the illusion that time is unlimited. I'm afraid it's the young people in our society that are most susceptible to that illusion. They seem to think that day will follow day and year will follow year and that time will never run out for them. And that's not true. After all, the Apostle James asks, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Almost like a mist hanging over a low spot in a meadow in the morning. It's there for a second, and the next second it vanishes." Can we afford to squander a single second of that brief life? Paul says, "Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Well, the days we're living in certainly are evil, aren't they? People squander the precious time of their lives in the most ungodly ways, pursuing riches and pleasure as if there were no tomorrow, or really as if there were an infinite number of tomorrows, which of course isn't true. Some people put every second they have into their careers, into making more money and buying a bigger house and a larger car and fancier clothing. Some people dedicate huge blocks of their lives to the attainment of pleasure. And when one activity doesn't thrill them the same way, they move on to another. We've got a nation full of compulsive people, compulsive workers, compulsive drinkers, compulsive gamblers, drug abusers, millions of people compulsively driven in their lives to getting things that in the end really just aren't worth the time. Jesus tells us, don't waste your time. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You and I need this stern reminder too, because really it's Christians, it's people like you and me that the Apostle Paul's talking to when he says, do not be unwise. For instance, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. It's all too easy for us as well to indulge, overindulge in the pleasures of this world, to be tempted by those same things. If you spend all your time at the bar, it goes without saying, a lot of worthwhile things in your life are going to go begging. If you get so involved in worldly activities that you lose sight of the spiritual things, the things that are really important, it goes without saying that your faith is going to suffer. Church attendance is one example. The Bible says plainly, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But how often haven't I heard people say things like, Pastor, I'd love to be a little more faithful in my church attendance, but you know, I'm so tired after working all week. Or fill in the blank. I've got so many things I need to do around the house. I really need some extra sleep. I really need to see the big game. Or people say to me, Pastor, I know I ought to read the Bible more often, but my schedule is just so busy. It's hard to fit it in. Misplaced priorities. Do not be unwise, Paul says, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? That you and your family be saved. That you and your family be kept strong in the Christian faith through the power of His Word. That's the Lord's number one priority. And it ought to be your priority as well. You know, God's Word doesn't give us a whole lot of details about what the next world will be like. But there are a few things we know for sure. One thing I'm absolutely positive about is when I reach the next world, all of my priorities are finally going to be straight. One other thing I'm pretty sure about is when I look back on how my priorities were arranged in this world, it's going to look pretty lame by comparison. What was I thinking? Why didn't I see that God's word truly was more precious than gold? Why didn't I see that compared to my relationship with God, just about everything else in my life really wasn't all that important? Why didn't I see how valuable was every single second I spent in service to my Savior? We're going to see it then. It will all be clear. But why wait till then? Why not see it now? Paul says, understand what the will of the Lord is. The Lord's will is that you use the time of your life not to serve sin and not to serve yourself, but to serve Him. Now, some people are a bit annoyed when they hear a statement like that, and it's understandable because society trains us to view our time a little bit like the way we view our bodies. It's very personal. It belongs to us. Nobody can tell me how to use my body, and no one can tell me how to use my time. It belongs to me. But the truth is, your time is not your own. It does not belong to you. It belongs to someone else because the time of your life has been purchased by Christ. In 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us that neither our bodies nor our time belongs to us. He says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price? Your Savior Jesus paid a price to purchase you, your body, your soul, your time, your whole being. He paid cash on the barrelhead for you, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood and with His innocent sufferings and death. It was a steep price that Jesus had to pay. It meant that He had to leave His heavenly throne and come down to earth and be born a humble human being like us. He had to endure the jealousy and hatred of evil men. Think of it. The Creator of the universe, the very Son of God, had to endure the jealousy and hatred of people. He had to let Himself be whipped and tortured, spat upon and nailed to a cross, left to die as if He were a common criminal, all to pay the price of our sin. But He did it. He paid the price. Jesus carried out His love for us to the very last drop of His own life's blood. And the result, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We are free and clear. Hell, with all its horrors, is far behind us now by faith in Christ. Ahead is a bright future, days of peace, knowing that we are no longer God's enemies, but rather His dear children through Jesus. Are we still sinners? Yes, we still have that sinful flesh adhering to us, tempting us to stray, tormenting us so that we can't serve the Lord as we wish we could. And yet, we know that Jesus' love and forgiveness covers all our sinfulness like a blanket. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin, says John. His perfect righteousness has us covered like a blanket. Each time we fall and come to our Savior in repentance, He grants us His pardon. And when the day of judgment comes, you and I, thanks to Him, will be standing on the right hand of Christ's throne of glory, ready to inherit eternal life. I've always thought it was a terrible thing what the Roman Catholic Church teaches about heaven. Their official teaching is that it is a sin for a person to say he is certain about going to heaven. But think about what the Bible says. God's word itself says that Christ has purchased you with His blood. Given that fact, how could anyone ever keep you out of heaven? Or let me put it another way. What sin have you committed in your life that is so great that not even the blood of the Son of God Himself could atone for it? Seems a little ridiculous when you put it that way, doesn't it? Paul asked the same question, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen. Your life has been bought back, redeemed from eternal death by Christ. Your eternal life is as certain now as the fact that the sun will rise in the east tomorrow morning. Our lives and our time have been purchased by Jesus. They belong to Him now. Praise be to God. So how does our Master want us redeemed Christians to use the time that we have left in our lives? Well, our text has many suggestions. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In short, Paul says that instead of squandering the time of our lives, we should use it to serve the one who redeemed us. What does it mean to redeem the time? I'm a notorious coupon clipper. Some of you are aware of that. Some of you may be coupon clippers too. Every Sunday newspaper contains a multitude of coupons which on their own are completely worthless. They're just slips of paper. But if you redeem those coupons for a quarter off a loaf of bread or 50 cents off a gallon of milk, they can be immensely valuable. The same is true about your time. If you choose not to use it or to squander it in unprofitable ways, then it becomes worthless. But if you redeem the time, if you use those seconds and hours and days in the service of Jesus, it can be immensely valuable. Valuable to you, valuable to the people around you, and valuable to the kingdom of God. So redeem the days and the hours. Cash in the minutes and the seconds for Jesus. First of all, our text says, be filled with the Spirit. If the power of the Holy Spirit has been weak or lacking in your life lately, then get back to the Bible. Dig in and read for a half an hour each day. If you feel the core of your family life weakening, the power of the Holy Spirit is the glue that will bind it together and make it stronger than you may have thought possible. Get a program of family Bible devotions going, 10 minutes first thing in the morning or after supper in the evening. It's not as tough as you might think. If you need suggestions for devotional materials, ask me. I've got plenty. Our text goes on, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And of course, that's what we're doing right now. That's why we're in this building this morning. What better use could you make of your time than to gather here with like-minded believers and sing the praises of the one who has redeemed you? If Sunday morning worship isn't at the very top of your family's list of priorities, then put it there and make sure it stays there. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Take time out of your busy daily schedule for prayer, and particularly not just to lay your petitions before God for forgiveness and for the things you need, necessary as that is, but also to come before Him with praise and thanks for all the wonderful things that He has given you and all the prayers that He has answered for you. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God, says Paul. Imitate your Lord Jesus Christ. Submit yourselves to one another for His sake. Look for ways that you can serve your fellow Christians instead of being served by them, to help other people instead of always being the one that needs the help. These are all ways you can cash in that precious time that you have left to spend. Ways you can redeem the time Christ purchased by serving Him. Time. It can easily be squandered, but it's been purchased by Christ. So use it. Redeem it in His service. May God grant us all the grace so to serve our Savior with the time of our lives. Amen. Please rise.